Okay, Ron, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us tonight. I'm not sitting before a screen, so I can't see who we got, but the Lord knows you're with us. Certainly hope that it's going to be a 50-55 minute deal with a chock full of information. Maybe some you knew, maybe some you didn't, I don't know. But anyway, we're going to go back to Ezekiel for the study tonight, and this is study 86 in our study of walk. And I found out something about this word walk as I was looking through it here. Ezekiel has the word walk. You know, we talked about when we started, we talked about the word yalak was how God wants you to walk. We looked at yalak, and we also looked at holak. And yalak, we said this was the way that God wanted you to use your manner of life. And holak is how man would want to use it. And guess what? In Ezekiel 1 here, starting in verse 10, it appears, yalak appears 12 times, 3202, one time 1980, and then one time it's 3318, and it's Yahusah, and that again is by God. Anything that begins with Yah in the Hebrew is God or godly, and so it's 14 times. If we had the opportunity to go through the rest of this chapter tonight, we'd be looking at it 14 times. And I don't suppose we're going to make it through that many verses tonight. But, you know, in Ezekiel and these other books, a lot of these here are the word went. Went and walked is the same thing, generally speaking. And there's a couple other places too. Can't remember them right offhand, but anyway, that's the way it worked out. 12 times in the rest of the chapter, as Yahweh, or as God would have these, these cherubims to go, because they were God beings. They were things that God created out of His genius, and I think we have an association with them again through Ephesians 1:12. And so I think we're going to be getting involved with that at the time of His appearing for a situation. And I got a little note from Miss Jan, and I certainly appreciate it, and it really did help me some. But, you know, we started when we started in verse 5, part of verse 5, and it goes down through 22, and it's descriptive. It gives you a description of what Ezekiel saw and what's going on. And this is the most descriptive aspect that we have of the cherubims. Now, Paul mentioned them one time in his writings. But when I believe in 9, when he says that he couldn't, at that point in time, he couldn't really speak of uh, we got Mama in.
Lord, give me your butt if you die by that head and not die by a
there you go.
She can't hear it now, and I can't hear it in the morning. Just barely turn it on, Lord, when you turn it on. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
But you get lower and lower when you stop.
No, I don't think so. It's just the way it goes. Okay. Having got my man geared up now with her hearing aids on, turn with me to the appendixes, to appendix 41, and it's on page 35 in the back of your companion Bible, and I hope everybody's got one, got a companion Bible. Appendix 41, and it talks about the cherubims here. And a little, somewhat of a detail about the negative and the positive aspects of the cherubims. Now, don't get this confused with cherubs, because cherubs is a singular in aspect, and the cherubim is the plural. There, you know, you find them either in pairs or fours. Okay. Appendix 41. Everybody there, I hope. And we'll go ahead and we'll read this because it is rather necessary, I think, that we get an understanding of what we're looking at here, because these are called creatures, but I like to call them a little something different. I like to call them God's beings. And Revelation, you find the word beast is used, and I think that's not a real good translation, because the real beast is over there too. And so that's something that can be confusing, but especially for younger people, or for those that are new in understanding of the word rightly divided, I think it behooves us to look at these. And so we'll go ahead and start. It said, it's hopeless to arrive at the meaning of the cherubim from etymology. Only by the usage of the whole of the scripture can we form an approximately true idea. Their description is twice given. The first is in Ezekiel 1:5-14. It moves on up to 5:22 there, because there are things given there that you need to know also. And also Ezekiel 10:20. And Revelation 4:6-9. By a process of elimination, we arrive at the fact that they are a celestial order of spirit beings, and we can form no more notion of them than we can of other heavenly orders, which are named but not explained. And for the want of better words, these are called thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and so forth. They are to be distinguished from the symbolic figures of them which were made to represent them. Now, talking about the cherubims, the negative, we may note that they cannot be the Godhead or divine in their nature. For, number one, the likeness of any kind was strictly forbidden, Deuteronomy 4:15-16. And two, the Godhead is distinguished from them by being mentioned at the same time. But nevertheless, they are still in control of the Godhead. So they're not self-controlled.
You mean controlled by the Godhead?
Yeah, they're controlled by the Godhead. Right. They're not self-controlled in that sense, okay? Though heavenly or celestial and spiritual in their nature and character, they are distinguished from the angels who, as their name implies, were spirits used as messengers. Compare Revelations 5:8-11 and 7:11, when first of the cherubim offered worship, and then the angels. They must therefore be real spirit beings, for they can hardly be represented emblematically and really in the same verse. Moreover, they are never dismissed or on errands as angels are, and are never seen apart from the throne. Now that's one thing that I don't agree with, because Ezekiel saw him here, and I'll say this, he did see the throne when he saw them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know how the movement of all that works.
What about in Genesis?
Well, in Genesis, they were in the Garden of Eden. And of course,
is that where the throne was then at the time?
I think that was where an altar was. See, when Cain, now think about this a minute. God put a mark on Cain so he wouldn't be killed, because he killed his brother. But Cain dwelt in the land of Nod, which was adjacent to where Eden was. So you see, God didn't want Cain and Cain's offspring having any kind of access back to the garden of the tree of life. And so there's no gate there, but the cherubim were placed there as a stopping point, and of course they can move at the speed of light. So it's not, and I don't think there's any way that man at that time, or even man today, could overcome anything like that that's been given the opportunity to guard or to keep. And it said that the cherubim there was to keep the way of the tree.
Yeah.
And so we've never heard that the tree was unkept, because in the situation that we have here, it is to keep. And the people of Israel and Babylon, God gave Ezekiel this vision that he could give to the people that he was going to keep his word, because Jeremiah didn't give them hope. And so this was the keeping, and it was by two witnesses, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So by the two witnesses, they were going to come back to the land. And so I think this is the reason. So these people were being kept, although it was a remnant of the people. It wasn't the original ones. Basically, it wasn't, I don't think, the original ones that went there. Because somebody went there as a young child and made it back. But these people were to build houses and do all these things and learn these trades. When they come back, they could build the temple back. Okay? So number three in the negative, it says they cannot be merely symbols, for those symbolic and emblematic representations of them were allowed to be made, they themselves are not symbolic. Or we should have symbolic symbols of symbols and then no reality at all. Mm-hmm. Number four, they cannot be a symbol of the church or any portion of redeemed humanity, for they are distinguished from them in Revelations 5, 9, and 10, according to the best readings of the most ancient manuscripts and critical Greek text, where the use us of verse 9 should be omitted and the as and we of verse 10 should be them and they. Also compare also Revelation 7, 9 through 11 for that. And then the fifth part of that negativity thing says, for the same reason they cannot be symbols of the four gospel or books of any kind. For the cherubims are ministers associated with wrath and call for the judgment plagues. Revelation 6 and 15, 7. Moreover, there is no connection between these and the presence of the cherubims in Eden, in the tabernacle and in the temple and the throne of God. Because on the mercy seat, you know, they had the cherubims with the wings. And when God would come in and sit down on the mercy seat, you find that the wings kind of made a cross within the mercy seat, kind of like we sometimes when military men get married and have these ceremonies, they'll put up the swords and walk under the cross. That's about as close as man can come to anything on these solemn occasions as that. And that may be of no consequence at all. He said, the positive, we may note, that there are three root letters of cherub, the K, the R, and the B. They are the root letters of the word karab, which reappears in our words grip, grab, gripe, and grasp. In a passive sense, the notion would be that of holding something in safe keeping. And as a matter of fact, the symbolic representations of them were held fast to the mercy seat, being made out of the same piece of gold in Exodus 25:18 through 23. So all that was fashioned out of one sheet of gold, and there was no seams in that. In Genesis 3:24, they were placed to keep or to guard the way of the tree of life and preserve the hope of regenesis for a ruined creation. Because that's where we are now in Ezekiel, and that's where we were in Jeremiah, a ruined creation. Genesis 2:15 is where we have the word keep in this sense. And three, and I think this three kind of sums up the situation for me. Their presence on the mercy seat binds this hope with atonement and with Israel. So, I think the children of Israel knew of what the mercy seat looked like and the fact of how it was made and how it joined in with the atonement of Israel, because that's where the blood was taken from their offerings and used for the atonement, and it gave them hope. And it gave Israel a renewed faith for another year. And so I think this is the same situation as Ezekiel goes they can now see an atonement thing being worked out with God, that they're going to be able to have hope to go back to their land. It said, on the veil of the hope is bound up with the coming of Christ in incarnation and redemption. And five, therefore, in number, and the four is the number of creation of Appendix 10. They are represented, number six, by the symbolic heads of the four great divisions of animated creation. The lion, this is a representation of the wild beast. The ox of the tame beast, and that's on the left side of the head. And the eagle of birds, and man is, of course, of humanity. And, they've got all four of them listed here, but on one side is man and the lion. On the other side is the ox and the eagle. And they're there for, they're represented there on the left and the right side of the heads of these individuals for a reason. We'll get into that. And they are beneath the throne. That's the throne of, I think, the throne of the Father. Because it says the earth is Jehovah's footstool. So he's first going to sit on David's throne, and then he's going to have an heavenly seat, but he is set down now with the Father. He is hid in him. Okay. And then their song when they speak is of creation. Revelation 4:11, and is in connection with the earth. Redemption is a new song for them relating to others. So I think this again goes back to what we talked about, Ephesians 1:12. And it says, we conclude, therefore, that the cherubims are celestial or real spirit beings associated in the same way with the embodiment of creation's hope and expressed in Romans 8, verses 19 through 23. The emblematic representations made of them connect that hope with the hope of Israel and associate it with the blood-sprinkling mercy seat and the rent veil of Hebrews 10:10 and 10:20. So I thought that we need to read that in order to get back into our study. And so with that in your mind, placed in your mind, then we'll go back and get started in our study in Ezekiel 1. We left off with verse 9 there last time, and we'll pick up with verse 10 in Ezekiel 1. And this is still descriptive. It says in the notes there, it's 5 through 14, but it's actually 5 through 22, because these things are very descriptive in their sense, and still yet there's many things that we don't, I guess, understand. 10, it says, and for the likeness of their faces, the four have the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. Now, why do you need that descriptive thing on the right side? Okay? And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Well, why didn't they put the face of the ox and the eagle, lion and eagle like they did with the man and the lion? Well, you see, man was supposed to be king of the earth. The lion was supposed to be king of the jungle. And the ox is a wild beast that has been tamed. And the eagle, I think, is associated somewhat with the cherubims because of the wing and the wingspread. Now, okay, but let's break it down just a little bit. For the likeness, the resemblance, or the similitude here of their faces. The four have the face of Adam, man. Okay, and the face of a lion, that is 738 in the Strong's, and it's on the right side of the face. Okay, and the right side, if you will, is always for man, should be, is being represented before God on the south or on the right hand, because he is always facing, or should be facing, east. Because man should always be looking for renewal or regeneration or resurrection. And on the left side, where the ox and the eagle is, they said it's the weaker side, but it's on the side of the north. And this is where God reigns from, on the sides of the north. And so man in relationship to God should always be looking east. And so that's how these beings are. The left side, they've got the ox and the eagle, and on the right side, they've got man and the lion of the head. Okay? So the face of a lion on the right side, and the forehead, the face of an ox on the left side. Okay? And that's the north side. The four also had the face of an eagle. And the eagle there, he catches his prey by laceration, whether it's in the water or whether it's on the land. When he makes his swoop down and he grabs his prey, it is with a laceration of the talons that he gets his food. Okay? And that's what it is. The eagle is. It's 5404 in the Strong's, and the word is neshar, and that is to lacerate. Okay? And then we go to verse 11. So in 11 says, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward, two wings of every one joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. So it gives us a little more description here of their wings. It says, thus were their faces. Their faces in place like this. And their wings were stretched outward, meaning divided or spread. Two wings of every one joined two of another. And they all were joined at the wingtips, one to another. And it says, and two covered their bodies. So each of them's body had covers. But they also had wings that kind of went up and touched in the center.
So they had four wings each.
No, they really have six wings each. Because there's two wings on each side. It'll tell you a little further down in there, I think. Let's see if they don't. Okay. That was in 11. Said two wings of every one joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. 12. And they went, everyone, straight forward. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. So here, we've got two wents in here, and both of them are Yahweh, because if they go, they're going to be sent by the part of the Godhead. Okay? So they went by God's bidding for whatever their job was to do. And they went. Everyone straightforward, in unison. It said, whether the Spirit was to go, they went or they moved. So it says, whether the Spirit, and this is wherever the Ruach, the Spirit duty was to go, they went together or they moved in unison. Does that make sense? And then we get
as much sense as it has every time I've ever read this.
Okay, and it says, and they turned not when they went. And here's another Yahweh there. It's so there's three of them in that verse. There went.
Sounds like they just picked up and moved.
Yeah, but whenever they got ready to go, they went in a beeline. They went in a straight line. They could, the wheels within the wheel could turn them to wherever they needed to go. They were lifted up, boom. They were out of here. Okay.
That's interesting.
It said, "And they turned not when they went," because in 12, this is a straight line movement. They don't go around curves. You know, they're not on a mountain road or anything, because they can go in a straight line wherever it needs is they need to go for whatever the reason. And I'm not gonna. I can't get that far into it because I don't know. As for the likeness of the living creatures, verse 13, their appearance was like a burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and it went down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Now this is a pretty good verse of scripture too. Okay. So it says, as for the likeness of the living creatures, the alive ones, and the likeness there, the look of like images that's being produced here that Ezekiel is seeing, of the living creature, or the four faces of the alive ones. Evidently, they all had the same kind of appearance, and it says, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. So he is giving us his view. The act of seeing these living creatures. So the view was like a burning coal of fire. And this is God's fire. It's not man's fire. You know, man's fire can change things. God's fire can destroy anything. So we want to throw that at you a little bit, because if God wants something to fully vanish, he can do it. Now, we can burn something, but we just change the structure of it. It still goes up in the air in different forms and stuff like that. Okay. So the view there is 4758, and it's Marhe. And the appearance there. And we'll see this word appearance several times going down through this. And so it won't be the first time you'll see the word 4758 come into use, because the next line says, like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. And so that's the appearance there is the same word. And it's a lamp or a torch. And then here is the place where the 1980 word comes up into play. And it says, it went up and down among the living creatures. So here we have something like floating fire going up and down among these beings. And of course, above the wheels, they were fire in these, things always. And so, I don't know if this has anything to do with their propulsion deal or not, but up and down there went up and down is Halak among the living creatures. That's like man. Man goes up and down to where he wants to go many times, and it's not sometimes the way that Jehovah would like it to be. And it said that the fire was bright. 5051 there in the Strong's, and the word is Nogah. And it means it has brilliancy or that it is shining. And it says, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Here again is the word Yolak, went forth, or kept going back and forth. And wherever it was being sent, it could go and come at lightning speed, at the speed of light. Okay. And so when it would go, it would come back like it had a specific place to stay, but in relationship to wrath and the things that it was overseeing, when it went and done its deal, it would come right back. Okay, verse 14. And it said, as the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of light. So, and I started changing my word here, the beings, the living beings, because to me, creatures, you know, we get so much stuff now on the electronic media that creatures have taken on a great big aspect of things, so I'd rather call them God's beings, because that's what they are.
Yep.
And we can't question him about his use of these things. So they kept running and returning as following orders. And the appearance there, or the like unto there, was like a flash of lightning, of the speed of light. And so, pretty fast. We don't really know about riding, at the speed of light. And in verse 15, it says this, now I beheld the living creatures. Behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. So, here again, you get some extra views because, you know, as it said in the appendixes, 5 through 14 gives you the description, but here we go. And as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces. As I beheld or looked to describe, the living creatures, God's beings, the alive, the living things that we're talking about here. Behold, and you find behold quite a lot in scriptures, is to call specific notice here to certain things. And this is a special notice here as to a wheel, because we haven't seen the word wheel yet. Okay. Now I looked the word up. I looked up the word wheel. And it means it is to revolve or rotate.
Spin around, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that when we come, you know, up with a new word, we need to look it up, and that's Ophon 2:12. And so this is the first here talking about the wheel too. It is a unit that revolves, and it is upon the earth. And of course, the earth also is a revolver, if you will. So, by the living creatures or God's beings, with his four faces, all of them have the same kind of look. They all are not, they have the same look. They don't have that distinguishable things one against the other. And then verse 16 says this, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of the wheel. So you have something like a pinion, yeah, or a gyro. So it says the appearance, the act of seeing of the wheels or the units or the units of revolvers, if you will, and their work, whether it's activity or guarding. And I looked up that word work to see what it would give me, because I didn't want to put something down that didn't seem to be appropriate. And that's 46:39 in the Strong, and it's called activity or guarding. So they go out for some activity or do some guarding. So kind of pretty self-explanatory once you begin to look into it. It said it was like unto the color of a barrel. And that's number 8658. You're just about out of the words, the Hebrew words, when you get into the 80s of the 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, after you get up past 6,500, these words seem to be specifically special in the sense that maybe they weren't there in the very beginning, but they were added in as the world went along. I don't know. But the barrel there is topaz. If we look at the gemstones of today's time, it would probably be topaz. And they four had one likeness. Each one was a mere image of the other. And their appearance, or their like looks, and their work, or their uses, or their activity, was, as it were, or was the same, in the sense of a wheel in the middle of a wheel, and I couldn't come up with any decisive thing that, and I just put a power driver centered within the revolver. Hmm. So there was some sort of a power driver that drove these wheels separately. Okay, but I think each wheel had a wheel in the middle, okay, as far as I could tell. Verse 17, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. So, here again, is Yoach 32:12, when they went, their movement, and it says they went upon their four sides or their revolving units. And they turned not. Or the returning was the same. So evidently they could reverse this thing. The course. When they went, they could come back on the same course that they went on. They didn't have to turn the wheels around. So it could go the other way. It was like going from a forward gear back to a reverse gear.
Drone that can fly around anywhere.
Yeah, at the same kind of speed. So I thought that was pretty telling. It says, and they turned not when they went. So there was no stopping and having to reverse order. They just boom, go there, boom, go back. It's just seemingly without any resistance. It's, you know, if you're moving at the speed of light and that they're God's beings, they don't have restrictions.
No.
In that sense. 18. And it says, how we do it for time, 9:15. Okay. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. So, evidently, somewhere above their heads, they had rings. Kind of like what we would call maybe a halo that didn't sit on the head, but sat above the head. And it said, as for the rings, they were so high. And so high, when I looked it up, it said they were noble or exalted. So it shows some kind of nobility, almost like a crown. It says in other places in the scripture, you know, we'll have crowns. Mm-hmm. Well, you can call it.
Doesn't mean they were coming way up off of them.
And they're full of eyes.
Predominant.
So, predominant. And it showed nobility.
Yeah.
Or exaltation, you know, that they were really the thing when they showed up on the scene, okay? And it talks about the rings. And it says, it was a hollow or curved arch made for eyes. You know, we have the arch in our eyebrows, but evidently they had the arches all the way around these rings, because it wasn't a smooth arch. I mean, it wasn't a smooth ring, but everywhere there was an eye, there was an arch. And if the word is right, the rings there is 1354, and the word is gab, G-A-B, gab. Okay. And it says that they were so high that they were dreadful. That means they were noble and exalted to a point that they were dreadful in the sense, and that year off, 3374, and it would give you the idea of fear or exceeding reverence when you saw this, that it would cause you to understand that you were in a place of high, you know, of high exaltation of God's, of those that were sent by God to do His work. And then verse 19, it said, when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And that's, again, God's being, the living ones, or God's beings, went. The went there is 3212 is Yolag, because they were in control of the Godhead. And it said, and the wheels went with them rather than by them. And it says, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth or from the land, and that lifted up is 5375, and the word is nosaw. It means that whenever they were lifted up off of the earth, the world, for advancement or for whatever the cause is, it says the wheels were lifted up. And it was, the wheels were advanced or went with the beings. That the beings never left the wheels, and the wheels never left the beings. It was a fact of both of them kind of going together. Okay. Verse 20. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went thither. They went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So, the spirit was under the guiding, the guidance of, is the guiding force here in this whole masterpiece. So whithersoever, if they were ordered anywhere, I tried to look up whithersoever. I couldn't find it in Strong. It says,
it's like an old English word.
Okay, ordered anywhere, the spirit or the Ruach was to go or was directed, they went. These beings as a unit went thither. Was their spirit to go, the beings. And the wheels or the revolvers were lifted up over against them. So when the wheels went up, it was kind of like the wheels kind of folded up against the beings, in that sense.
It's almost like retracts.
Yeah, like they would retract, not up him. I think he's either a retraction or a folding up to where they would be, would still be in the, in touch with the beings, okay. And it says, for the spirit of the Ruach of the living creature, or God's beings, was in the wheels, or in the revolvers. 21. 21 says, when these went, these went. And when these stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. You see, so again, you have all these things working in unison all the time. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheel. Okay? 21. When those, and those there are God's beings, those living creatures, 411 in the Strong's, went, 3212, the Yalak, those went. Same words. The same as to a unit. Went. And when those stood, these stood. Okay, talking about God's beings again. The same as to a unit. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted over against them, or went up, I said, beside them, or maybe retracted up within them. I have no idea. For the spirit or the ruach of the living creatures or God's being was in the revolvers or in the wheels. 22. And the likeness or the resemblance, 1823, of the firmament or the expanse of Genesis, 1:9, was upon the heads or the roshi, the tops of their heads. And the heads of the living creatures or God's beings was the color of the terrible crystal. And
I hope you know what the terrible crystal is, because I know.
Okay. Let me tell you what it is. The rings up there and the things that was above their heads, whether it be a crown or whatever you might want to call it, was the color of terrible crystal, and that's Yahweh. And it's God's produced ice, or we might call it hail. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's, I believe, 7140. And it was stretched out, or stretched forth, or spread out over their heads, suspended upward in 22. So the terrible crystals is kind of like the color of beryl over there. All these things are, it's fashioned in such a way that you really understand that it's something that you're not seen before and you're probably not going to see again. And it says in 23, now that's in 22. That's pretty much the description of what we've been talking about. And I'm running out of time here, but I'll do 23 and then we'll finish it off next time. And it says, and under the firmament with their wings straight one toward the other, everyone has two, which covered on this side of the sides of the north. And let's see, and everyone has two which covered that side on their bodies. So they have evidently two wings that covers either side of their bodies, and then the two wings that rises forward. But now they can let those wings down to a level position. So, when we talk about under the firmament or beneath the expanse, with their wings straight, one toward the other, everyone has two. The word straight there means level. So they can, evidently they have enough room to where they can go straight, point straight one toward the other with the two wings that they have that they lift up. And also they have the side coverage where everyone has two wings on each side, which covers that side or their bodies. And as I put, the south side or the right side generally facing east, then mankind looks east for a new day, for a resurgence of life or for resurrection. Because, you know, when you get up and you look for the sun to be shining. You look to see if it's out there. And because God has set it in place and it's going to go. Now, we've still got about four or five more verses to go, but these are very telling verses, so we'll go ahead and stop off at with 25 there, and we'll, or 23, and we'll pick up with 24 and the next time and go on with that. And I know it's seemingly an over thing, but yet we need to kind of get a picture of what we're talking about here, because when God appears, if we appear with Him, and the worship is going to be part of our plan as members of the body, and if these things that we've been talking about here, these beings, our worshipers also, that we really don't want to stand before God and say, well, I've never heard of these things. That it would behoove us to have some idea or indication, because God's word has given it to us.
Yes,
and so, having given it to us, maybe we need to look at it. And so here we are. We're looking at it. And if it don't make much sense to you, join the crowd. But nevertheless, I kind of have some sort of a picture in my mind as to these things. But it says they never walk. Now, they can kneel down or they can stand up. But it seems like they never get out of that position. It's like they've got feet that's in shoes, but the shoes can't go anywhere and the feet can't go anywhere because the shoes don't go. And they're kind of like, in my view, is frozen in space or frozen in place, but they can twist around and kind of point their wings in a straight line. I don't know if it's straight out, but it talks like they're pointing their wings to where they would be straight toward one another.
Yeah.
So they can evidently give a
articulation.
Have a articulation of some sort that way, but it never says they walk. But the word walk comes up those 12 times, and we haven't seen all of them yet. But, you know, that's just the way it is, because the words Yolak and Holak has a lot of different meanings. And so when you get involved, I guess if you really look, it'd probably be thousands of times that that word could be used by in other situations. We're lifted up, you know, to means to go, or you they went. And so, you know, that's just the way that word is associated with and there's so many words in that thing, and I had a big list of them when I first started one time, and they're here somewhere, but I think they're in another one of my notebooks that I've got. But, you know, when you think about, well, here in the Strong's, you've got these 200 times that the word walk is used. No, it's way more than that, because when you go through all the applications of the meaning of the word, you see that it goes on and on. So, again, the manner of life, and listening to Bernie and his studies, you know, on the manner of life and so on. It gets very complicated. So much so that I'm kind of awe-stricken in the fact that God has prescribed for us as members of the body of Christ the way to go that no others have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense. And we haven't even got out of the Old Testament yet to see how far we went. And we certainly haven't scratched the surface of this thing yet. So thank you for your time. Thank you for being with us tonight. And I certainly hope you kind of got some glitter of what they've seen. And we didn't get down to the throne and the throne area. And as to what was seen, we were just getting into that. We have looked at what was below the throne, but we haven't looked up yet. We haven't gone up that way yet to see. So we'll do that next time. Thank you for being with us tonight. God bless you, and continue to pray for us that we can continue on as far as He'll let us go. Good night, all.
Amen.